Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and our continuing interview with internet marketing, coach, Sean Mize. Sean is the author of the book Anyone Can Coach. Sean is a Christian productivity, focus, and achievement expert who teaches high-level achievement strategies and online monetization methods. Sean ministers to the Christian community to help them to achieve financial freedom. He believes that God has given to him a special calling, a special anointing, which is to use the internet to teach others. Now, in the interest of complete transparency, I've been a student of Sean's for about 4 or 5 years as of this recording. I have not made millions of dollars through online marketing. I can attest that using some of the methods Sean has taught me to do, I have successfully taken our online Christian radio station, Evangelism Radio, from an obscure radio station that nobody's ever heard of, to the number one online Christian radio station in the world in our niche, as rated by Shoutcast.com on numerous occasions. So I can personally attest that in my niche, his methods work. I continue to say in my niche because that is what Sean teaches. Although his teaching is and his methods and his products that he has made his business are designed to work for just about anybody that puts them to use, it only stands to reason that every method will not work for everybody. But when you find the one that will work for your business, your ministry, your niche, then you apply what is taught as it's taught, perhaps adapting a little here and there to make it better fit your niche, you are more likely to see success than if you just try the buckshot method of shooting at everything and hoping something sticks, basically. And this applies to other online coaches as well. It doesn't matter if you're talking about perhaps a public speaking business or how to become a successful author. You must design your product, whatever that may be, to serve your niche. There are no guarantees. He does not promise pie-in-the-sky results. He does not promise his listeners, because I'm teaching you God's Bible-based business principles, you are guaranteed results. No, there are no promises that can be made like that. But what he does with these faith-based calls is share the word. He shares what's on his heart. He tries to show you what the word has to say and how you can apply that to your daily life. If that involves a business, great. If that involves your daily walk with God, great. If that involves applying these principles to your online business and you achieve success, great. But the bottom line in all of this is he shares the word, period. That's the most important thing you can get out of listening to his faith-based calls. Now, enough of me. Let's jump right back into part two of our three-part interview with Sean Mize. Today, I start off by asking him how his calls were received when he first started sharing online. Here we go with Sean Mize. Now, when you first started, you covered this a little bit. How were these faith-based calls received? What kind of feedback did you receive initially? You talked about it a second ago, but compared to initially as to the feedback you receive now.
Okay. If it would be okay with you, I want to go back like 2 minutes and talk about video for just another second. I just want to make absolutely sure that I don't leave the impression with anybody that I believe that the audio is better across the board than video. I think there's places where video is more useful and places where audio is more useful. And I think for different personalities too. You know, I am not the kind of person that I can do a basic PowerPoint, and I'm on a Mac, so I use Keynote, but I can do something basic like that, but I'm not real graphic and artsy, which means that you know, I see other people do videos and webinars, and they got all these fancy borders and these fancy pictures and slide after slide. My goodness, it would take me a whole week to prepare an hour's worth of video that's worth watching. But and for some people, they're going to create an amazing video that's going to change so many lives that it's worth the whole week. Yeah. For me, I tend to teach on audio somewhere between 2 and 10 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that if it was all video. Yeah. And if I did, it would just be totally, totally boring. And so I think for different personalities, and, you know, there's a place for video. I use video oftentimes when I'm trying to demonstrate something, if I'm selling, demonstrating, hey, here's how you build part of a website, or sometimes I'll use video to show how to do something on the back end. So I just wanted to wrap that, you kind of go back to that. I want to be very, it's just important to me that I don't mislead anybody.
Right.
But what I do and saying, hey, I'm posing, I don't. So the question about how is it received? You know, the fact of the matter is most people are pretty nice people. I mean, you know, deep down inside, if you treat people well, other people want to treat you well. And the fact of the matter is, this is not meant to brag or anything like that, but I make an effort, a deep effort, that if I teach something, it's going to help people. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's exposed to me on a regular basis, whether you just join my list and you never pay me a penny and you're reading emails and you're watching videos, if you implement what I teach, you're probably going to have some improvement somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so I think what happens is that people begin to develop a respect for what I teach, meaning that I do care, that if you do what I share with you, that you're likely going to get the kind of results that we talk about. And so there's this respect built. So when somebody hears something like, you know, here's why I do what I do, and I almost always, or I hope that I almost always frame this as, this is what drives me. So my faith in God, my redemption by Christ, is what drives me, and that if I don't share with you what drives me, and you ask me where drives your success, and I just say, oh, well, it's this, this, or this in the business, that's only half the story. And
right.
So for me not to share my faith, I think is actually dishonest.
Yeah.
Because if my faith is a critical part of the business that I operate, even though in the business itself, I rarely make a comment about my faith, my faith is critical to me having done it. And so to withhold it to me would be what would be unethical, would be to withhold it. And so my perspective is, I hope the word, I mean, I think the word at this point in my career would be, is never to say that you should believe this way. It is only to say that I believe this way, and this way has influenced the work that I do. And so I think that when we put it all together, and when we take the fact that somebody comes onto my list, or they join a coaching program, or they watch a webinar, however they meet me, maybe they read 7 articles, they learned something that gives them a level of trust that says, in the natural, they may not be thinking those thoughts, but in the natural,
right,
Sean knows what he's talking about, and Sean has helped me. And so when I begin to reveal my faith, not from a perspective of you should believe the way that I do, but from a perspective of this is why I do what I do, I think most people, whether they agree or disagree, simply respect the fact that that's where it comes from. And so I think that for that reason, I don't get a lot of kickback. Do I get a little bit? Well, yeah, but the fact of the matter is, Bob, I get kickback. People tell me that some of the techniques I teach don't work. You know, they tried something and it didn't work exactly the way that I said it worked for them. Because the fact of the matter is, whether we're writing articles or blog posts or doing videos or doing audios or creating a coaching program, there is no 7-step formula for any of it. I mean, I can try to say, okay, these are the 7 general steps, and if you'll kind of go through these steps, this is the direction. But the fact of the matter is, everybody's business is unique, which means that everybody has to write a unique headline, has to have a unique mission statement, has to have a unique program. And so when you release your unique program, it may do better or worse than somebody else's unique program. And it's going to have a lot to do with who's there. And so if somebody takes something that I suggest and it doesn't necessarily work exactly the way that it worked for me on their particular part of their business, hey, I get kickback on that. Folks will say, well, you know, I don't like that, or I tried that in the past and you do it and it doesn't work for me. So frankly, I don't know that I get a whole lot more kickback about my faith than I do about any principle that I teach, you know? And I think that what happens, Bob, is that sometimes folks get, they expect to get criticized for their faith. And so if a critical email comes across, they take it personally. Whereas if a critical email comes across that somebody says, I mean, you know, a number of people have told me in the past, well, I don't want to listen to you because you're just audio. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry. You're going to miss out. I'm sorry, but that's the way I run my business.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just don't know that I get a ton of kickback, but I hope I've explained why I think that I don't. The flip side of that is, Bob, what I'd really like to talk about, this may be your next question, but if it is, we'll just jump in right through.
Yeah.
Is that the people who do have faith are not finding a way online. This may be different 10 years from now, but there's not a whole lot of information out there right now that says, hey, how to apply your faith to your business. And yeah. There's some books out there, but it's just not widespread. And so for somebody who has deep faith or even has some level of faith and is trying to start a business and something in the back of their head keeps saying, my faith should be a bigger part. And I think that for a lot of faith-based people, that there is something in the back of their mind that says, I need to have a little more faith in my business. Yeah. Well, when I come out and start talking about faith, it's like the seed is already there. I don't even have to plant it.
Right.
The seed's already there. And so for those people, which I think is a big piece of population, I really do. I think there's a huge piece of population, especially folks that are wanting to change people's lives. And most of my clients are people who want to change people's lives. And so because of that, I think that most people, whether they believe exactly the way I do or not, there's something inside of them that says my faith should be a bigger part of what I do. And so when they see me using my faith, even if they disagree on some doctrinal idea, it's still encouraging them because they can say for themselves, okay, if Sean can do it, be commercially viable and share his faith, hey, I can be commercially viable and share my faith. And so I think that there's an element of folks that become drawn to my method of sharing my faith, even if they don't buy into every little dot and T.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay. But I hope that really begins to explain psychology of what happens such that I really don't get that much kickback. I really don't.
Amen. And to go back to something that you've taught before in some of your teachings, it's what is known as the know, like, and trust factor, because they get to know you from the teachings and from the faith-based callings. And as you said, if they start to like what they're hearing, then they start to trust you, and that's what brings about change in their life, is the know, like, and trust, because that's when change will occur. When those three elements all kind of mesh together, and that's awesome. Now, when these compared to when you started your faith-based calls, how have they changed over the years, if any at all?
Well, they've definitely changed, but I haven't thought about it very much. So, just give me a moment. I want to kind of think about what that looks like. Well, you know, they haven't changed a whole lot. I hopefully just through experience, maybe I've gotten just a little bit more adept at tailoring the words I use so that people can connect what I share from the Bible to operating it in their business. But I think that that's more of an experience thing. I don't know that when I put together a message, when I outline a message, when I think about what's going to connect, I don't know that the process is that much different. One of the things that, and you know, this is something, if you ask me about this a year in the future, you might get a better response on this. I believe the Lord has really been working with me lately on... my message with these faith-based calls has been, it's Bible-oriented, okay? So there's no excuse. I'm not making any excuses there. It's Bible-oriented, and I believe it's always been Bible-oriented. And it either says, this is what the Word says, and then let's make that work in your business, or I'll start and say, okay, here's a principle in your business, and then here's what the word says to help you. So I may not always start with the word. I may start with the problem, but I use the word to explain how to fix it, or I go to the word and say, okay, this impacts your business. But I have the process, and I'm really just being transparent here because I rarely talk about things that I'm working on. Actually, I do in the business sometimes. If I'm working on something, if I want folks to be able to see some insight, but on something like this, it's almost like it's personal. But I want to give you almost a faith forward because I believe that this is really what's what is happening. You know, the thing is, we can take these principles all day long, and the principles are rock solid. The principles God put in the Word of God are rock solid.
Yeah.
There's so many principles that are rock solid. But there's one thing that is so important in my life, and that is that the life of Jesus Christ is living in me, mm-hmm. and He is the one that guides my business. Now, He guides my business through His Word and through the principles and through the time that I spend with Him and through the still small voice. He leads me through all of those things. And primarily on the faith-based calls, I have been highlighting the one piece, which is the Bible. Okay, so the Bible is one of the tools that the Lord has used with me in growing my business. And so for the most part, the faith-based calls have been about a biblical principle. And I've been pretty staunch about that. It's a Amen. Biblical principle. However, I recognize, and I'm aware of this, and there's a morphing that's happening in my own thought process on this, that what happens in my life is more than just the Bible, it's Jesus Christ Himself.
Yeah.
And so because Amen. Of that, I am beginning to make an effort at beginning to share more about the Christ who leads me, in addition to the Bible that obviously is there in His great wisdom. And so I think that if you were to ask me this a year from now, you'd probably hear me say something like, there's been this transition, but I'm in this transition. I don't know what it'll look like in 90 days or a year from now, but there's a little bit of a transition that's happening right now that I don't believe will go backwards. It may not go as far as, you know, I don't know how far it will go. I think at this point, though, it's not going to go backwards.
Amen. Yeah. You don't want to go backwards, that's for sure.
No.
Now, I know every believer is called to be a witness of the faith. This question will probably take you off guard, but are you preparing for any type of fivefold ministry position? You know, preacher, okay. prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor.
Okay, I don't think I understand your question. Am I prepared? Okay.
Are you preparing? Is this in your future? And the reason I asked this is I heard something, lay the groundwork for that question. I heard you do something on a call a few weeks back at the time of this recording where you actually gave a sort of altar call. Was that a one-off event or something that you might start doing on a regular basis? Because when I heard that faith-based call and that all, that's when I said, you know, I need to reach out and try and get Sean on a program because that really, it was an awesome, awesome faith-based call. And when you did that, in my heart and spirit, I mean, that was like, you know, awesome. You know, I mean, I can't even describe the way my spirit just leaped at that. And that's why I was like, I wonder if Sean's getting ready to go into ministry. but that's why I was asking, are you prepared? It's kind of a roundabout question. Are you prepared for any type of ministry position, maybe at your church or something like that? But how was that call received? How was that faith-based call received? And the question of, are you prepared for ministry?
Okay, so this may take me a few minutes to get through because I think sometimes you come to a point in an interview where you want to say, okay, you've gone too far. I'm not answering that question. I'm moving okay. on.
Yeah.
But wait. At the same time, Bob, I believe we're here together for a reason, mm-hmm. and I think the Lord has led this interaction, and And so I can't give you a yes or no straightforward answer to that because I don't have one. But if you'd like me to take the time to give you what I do have, then I'll try to do that. It won't be as straightforward as everything else I've given you. It'll dance around a little bit, but I'll try to make it, you know, obviously if I share it with you, it's going to be honest. It may not be every dot and every thought.
Right.
Yeah. You know, let's talk first about the response to that. And the fact of the matter is you get to the point, I've gotten to the point where I do a call, like you said, sometimes I think there's two, not often, but mm-hmm. actually it's looking like going forward, there's going to be probably a second call at least a couple times a month. And there mm-hmm. may be something else coming down the pipe. So you're right. Mm-hmm. More than once a week. And I generally get some kind of feedback every single week. Most of the time that feedback is positive. And I don't remember all the feedback from that particular call.
Okay.
If I had to guess, there was you and a few others who sent me some kind of an encouragement or appreciation for the fact that we were adding that extra step mm-hmm. into the call, if I remember correctly. I do not remember any backlash of any sort.
Amen.
So I think that was a good thing. Once again, I believe that is something that the Lord is working with me on. Now, you know, when we talk about, when you ask the question, you know, am I preparing? I don't believe that. I mean, I can tell you this, and this is where it gets sketchy, because I want to say the words, I'm not preparing. I am not actively, okay. I'm not going to school. I'm not planning to go to school. I am not seeking the pastorship or anything. I'm absolutely not. Yeah. I believe that the Lord the Lord's doing something amazing with this faith-based call. And one of the things, you know, you mentioned this idea about we're all called to share.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is most of us in our modern day world, we don't know how to share really well. We either don't share or we share and we turn somebody away. And I don't. Yeah. You know, I've had arguments with folks that say, well, if you turn somebody away, then, you know, that's okay because Jesus turned people away. But you know what? I don't think he left us with that spirit. I think he left us with the spirit of love. I think he left us with a spirit of love that says, I draw all men unto myself. And so for me to push anybody away, I think is a real challenge and a real problem. And so I think that most of us struggle in the modern day. Most of us struggle with either not sharing enough, or if we try to share, we push people away. However, what I have discovered is that by holding this call to my audience, that I don't think I push many people away. I don't. Yeah. Now, I know some people just disappear, and they don't want to hurt my feelings, and they very nicely just disappear. So I get that, okay? But I genuinely believe that not because I'm special, not because of anything about me, so lay aside what I teach and all of that good stuff, but just by being out there and hanging out a shingle that says once a week, I'm going to share something from the Word to my, let's call it a secular audience, although I think so much of the audience is not, but let's call it a secular audience, that I'm willing to do that. Amen. I've had a number of people that have said to me, wow, I really appreciate your boldness. I don't consider it boldness, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could do something like that. And I want to be able to help other people. And, you know, my thought is, Bob, well, anybody can. You know, if you've got a kitchen show and you have a small audience, you could say, hey, if you're interested in faith-based ideas, I'm going to hold a 15-minute Bible study weekly. If you're not interested, no harm, no foul. But if you're interested, and I think that no matter how scared somebody is in the offline world to hang out a shingle and say, I'm going to do a Bible study and come over to my living room and sit down and I'm going to look you in the eyes and I'm going to teach you. Well, that could be intimidating for, let's face it, most people.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, I think anybody that has even an inkling of faith could do a 15-minute weekly call that is, if anything, it could just be a devotion. It could be, look, this is what I got in my quiet time this week, and let me share my thoughts about my quiet time, and that's it. And I think that me just doing this, if the impact was nothing greater, and I get it's a lot greater than this, but if the impact was nothing greater, but that were that a whole slew of people were to become empowered to say, I can do a faith-based call to my own audience, that I can do it through social media, even if I don't have a big list, that I can do that, I believe that that's really freeing.
Yeah,
and so,
amen.
Because of that, I'll tell you, I really believe that the Lord has already made this a ministry. It may not be incorporated as a ministry, and we don't take donations as a ministry, and all of that from a legal perspective. But I think that from a ministry perspective, this is already a ministry.
Amen.
And you know, I've often reflected that God has been growing inside of me a set of abilities that I didn't have 10 years ago. You know, I have the ability now to speak on the fly on just about any topic that I want to, and I couldn't do that 15 years ago.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here, and we are all out of time again on today's episode with our interview with Sean Mize. This is part 2 of 3. You need to come back tomorrow to catch the conclusion of our interview, because it's going to be just as great as the first 2 parts have. If you missed either one of these segments, if you missed part 1, you need to go back and catch up on it. Tomorrow, Sean will conclude his interview, and we are just having a great time. There's so much information being provided here, I can't even give you a recap of it. That's how powerful this interview is. Sean is providing so many nuggets of information on this interview. You need to come back tomorrow to catch the conclusion. Till then, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.